What up, witches, and welcome to Witchin' and Bitchin' a podcast. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm Vicky. How are you all? I hope you're doing really, really well. I tried to not be so high-pitched because I didn't want dogs to start barking and all of those sorts of things, glasses to start breaking or anything.
I'm just
like
impressed that you actually asked them how they're doing this time. You didn't just say,
I didn't, I forgot.
And I'm Vicky, I'm really, really well.
It's all about me.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, you have to go to the episode with Madam Adam, I think, that we did that. And you just like, I'm like,
I'm great.
Like, give a shit about anyone.
Like, I'm great. Like, you're all great too.
So now that the winter's starting to ease up and we're starting to get the first little signs of spring, what is it that we're talking about today?
So we're talking about your mom today. Yay! Although I must say it is still a little chilly here at the moment. I have my blankie on.
I do really? Although
I really do.
I'm actually wearing
Freezing. It's actually freezing here. This is why I've just got like my jumper on and everything, because it's actually really still really cold.
I was tempted to put a hoodie on, but it didn't look as good on camera.
No.
But on that note, we are recording this in a specific time of year.
Yes.
And I just want to do a quick shout out. Pow! So I'm wearing my t-shirt that says Salem 1692. So fun fact, for those that weren't aware, the 19th of July, which falls on the 20th of July here, because that's Northern Hemispherical, is actually the anniversary of the Salem witch trials, when they actually hung some wrongfully accused women who may or may not have actually been witches. So thought I'd do a little bit of a, not fun fact, because it's not very fun.
No, because it's not a fun fact, but it's just solemn.
A way of honouring them?
I think so. Just that acknowledgement and that kind of remembering a little bit.
Yes, because whether or not they were witches, we will never know.
No, that's it.
But they were tried for being witches, and some of them were hung, others were burnt, others were all different types of torturous things were happened to them with things under their nails and whatnot. So just as a way of acknowledgement. So I definitely do not want to have lived in those times.
No, me
I'm very
neither.
Glad that I live in these times when we can have a podcast and talk about this publicly.
Yes, we could actually still talk about it. That's right.
Yeah. So... But bringing it back to, I just want to acknowledge that day. Let's bring it back to Imbolc. So, what is Imbolc?
So, Imbolc, it translates sort of, I guess, a loose translation into Gaelic is in the belly. Mm-hmm. So it's about this whole time of those first kind of stirrings of spring. So it's not, we're not into the full blown, you still can get cold weather, the whole thing, but just those first few little things are starting to, you can start to feel that energy start to shift a little bit, that we're moving out of that really deep winter. And they might see, like, actually around here, I've noticed we've actually had a few of like our deciduous trees, the blossoms are out, which I thought was super early. But it actually kind of makes sense because it's those first little stirrings. And sometimes you can see, like, especially around here, like some of the bulbs, like jonquils and things like that, where they'll just sort of start to come up and come out. And
see, all of those kind of things. I've noticed not so much with the trees and stuff, but I've noticed with wildlife in my area.
Yeah.
So during winter, now this is just something I've only just realized as an epiphany right now. So for the last few months, crows and ravens have been very prevalent.
Yes.
But only in the last few days, I've now noticed they're no longer around, but magpies are very much around. So I don't know whether that's a thing or not, but you know from when we've been talking off camera.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden seen magpies everywhere in my neighborhood. They're like literally, they flock to my house. I don't know why. I've done a little bit of a research, a little bit of a Google on what magpie energy means. Some of it resonates, some of it I need to unpack, but still.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's a thing, but I've just noticed that the ravens are no longer around. And if you think about it, ravens are often associated with the winter.
Yeah.
And all the underworld and stuff, whereas now going into spring. I mean, spring season is known as swooping season here in Australia.
Yeah, that's it, because they're starting to, they're having their babies, all the rest of it. So maybe they're like getting the little nests fully ready.
Hopefully not on my roof, which is where they're congregating.
Could be.
Every time I go to leave the house, they're like swooping. Ah! And if you're not from Australia and you're listening to us from abroad, it's a known thing in Australia that during spring, it's magpie swooping season because they swoop at you to protect, like, postal service workers get swooped while on their bikes and, like, kids walking home from school get swooped. Like, they literally will swoop at anyone that's anywhere near.
Yeah. But you know what? You know how to stop that? You just befriend your magpies, because I haven't been... The only one time I've been swooped was when I was little, and me and my brother were riding our bikes and we got swooped tuppings and they followed us the whole way home and we were so scared. But since then, because we've always had, like, at my mum's house, they've had this family, it's obviously not the same ones, but they've had a family for like 20 years that have just been coming and always bringing their babies. And I befriended all the ones here as well, and I never get swooped. So be nice to your magpies. Talk to them. Say thank you when they sing to you.
Oh, they garden. Really beautifully.
They do. It's really beautiful. Mm. So yeah, that's a little tip. Befriend them. Befriend them first.
Yes.
And then they won't swoop you.
So that's how I've noticed it, is mainly with the wildlife that's been returning or coming out of hibernation. Because, like, a lot of the wetland, because we have the wetlands in my house, so I see a lot more ducks with their little ducklings and stuff. Oh. They're waddling. I actually did the Good Samaritan thing where they were, because it's very easy to just drive your car and not notice them because they're so small. Yeah. But I literally stopped my car and I got out of my car and put my hands up to stop other traffic.
Yeah.
See that they were doing the little...
Their little thing they go across.
And then you could see everyone put their phones out of their windows and they're taking photos of all those cute little ducks crossing the road. And it's so cute.
It's so cute. And see, that's the thing. Like, you know, until we stop and look around, we miss so much amazing things around. And there's so many cool things around in nature. So, So that's where the whole in the belly thing kind of comes from as well. That's really fitting, is that it could be the little babies that are in the belly, or also just like that energy, that spring energy starting to, I guess, come forth later on.
And then astrologically speaking, obviously in the Northern Hemisphere, this usually falls on the 1st of February or thereabouts. Yeah. But it's basically the time when the sun is 15 degrees into Aquarius, whereas down here in the Southern Hemisphere, the reason why we celebrate it on roughly around the 1st of August is because it's when the sun is at 15 degrees in Leo. Flip it and reverse it. So flip it and reverse it for us down here. So... hence why we're about to celebrate it.
Yes.
So let's go back and look at some of the historical references to Imbolc, because obviously it's known, the 1st of February is known as St. Bridget's Day in a lot of places. But let's go back and talk about Bridget, because she's probably the main patron goddess of this time.
Yeah, she's sort of the main one that seems to come out at this sort of time. She's in a lot of the myths, and she's very, very much through the Celtic lands and things like that. There's a lot of stuff there with her. So she was a goddess. She was, is still doing the whole thing. We haven't.
She's retired.
She's retired. She's like, dude, I've had enough. I want to rest, please. No. So she is a goddess of the fires, of sacred waters, of fertility, of transformation, healing. She had a lot also to do with looking over childbirth, and a lot of midwives and things like that would be looking with her. So one of the traditions that was done was to actually, because it was said that Bree or Bridget would walk the earth on the eve of Imbolc. So it's the night before. So you want to get out the 31st of July if you want to do this, is to pop out a piece of cloth. So now it can be like a little piece of cloth or something like that, but it was often a blanket or a shawl, and you'd put it outside, and it was said that she would, as she would walk past, she would kind of bless it and it would have the healing properties. And it was often a tradition that was done a lot with midwives, and they would then use that in when somebody was giving birth, they would wrap that around it and it would have healing properties. So it actually became like a bit of a tradition as well in some families, where you would have it and each year they would put it out, and it would become like an heirloom blanket that it would go down through things, which I think would be really cool. You could do that with kids and stuff, especially like with the kids and things like that. You can have like that special blankie. We all know when we get sick, you kind of want that nice love. And if you've got that special blankie that's been blessed by Bridget and it has the healing properties and the healing powers and things like that, you can yeah, bring that all in. So that's a cool little thing that used to be done as well. And also because she's really associated with the water and sacred wells, and there's a lot of sacred wells, especially through the Celtic lands. There's a lot of sacred wells all through there. There's where is her special one?
I know there's one in Culloden in Scotland.
Yes.
Where they do the, what are those strips called?
The Clody, Cloudy. Yep. You know I'm not great with these words.
Clutie.
Yep. The Clutie strips. And you would hang them near a tree that was near one of the sacred wells. And it was said to, a little bit kind of like the Buddhist prayer flags, where as they kind of rot away, it was said, and then the illness would rot away or would mm-hmm. move away. So it would release it from it, and it would have the healing powers from the sacred wells as well, which was beautiful. And oh, and I've also forgot to say that Bridget's also to do with like smithcraft and smithing and blacksmithing.
Yeah.
All of that kind of thing.
Forging and fire.
As well, forging, everything all to do with fire. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. And also she's got that strong association with the fire and the flame. And I know that there's a particular place in Ireland. I think you have more information
yes,
on this than I do.
I do. So Kildare is where there is this sacred flame, which is Bridget's flame. It's said to have been burning for hundreds of years, so since the 12th century through to the 15th century, when I can't remember who it was, which
it was pope king
or a king.
I know that King Henry VIII, he actually dismantled the shrine and said it's because yeah, it's a pagan thing.
Yeah, and kind of got rid of it. But it is said that it actually, even though that it wasn't there, that it actually was just taken out of sight and it was still burning somewhere else. And it was tended to by different, by nine priestesses. Mm-hmm. And so it was removed, and then it's since been, it's back. So you can actually still go there now. And this candle that's burning up behind me has actually been lit from a candle that was lit from that place, the actual Bridget's flame in Kildare. So it's said to have healing properties for your house as well. And you can kind of, yeah, so you can keep doing it so that you light a candle from that candle and it becomes imbued into the wick and it keeps the flame going. So yeah, so now it's been...
Even though you light the candle and put the candle out and then travel across the outside of the world and then light it again, it's imbued.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like the intention, and then it gets imbued into the wick, so as that whole candle.
Oh, see, then I wouldn't want to burn that candle. I'd want to keep it.
I know. But see, I've got... This one is actually being started from the actual one that I've got. So I just use that to create new candles kind of thing, and I keep the original
Look at you midwifing lots of...
I know. Yes, I look after all the little candles. But yeah, but it's just, but that flame, it's been going for hundreds of years and it's still tended to now. It's actually tended to by nuns. So it's been through nuns and priestesses through that whole time that they've looked after the flame and kept it going, which I think is such a beautiful thing. And it also goes to show how strongly Bridget Elbrie is really ingrained into the traditions kind of the Celtic lands. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Now, so
it's got a lot to do with light. Imbolc is also a lot to do with light.
Yeah, of course. So, and then obviously, as we all know, which is the reason why Salem happened all those years later.
Yes.
Obviously, when the rise of Christianity came about, then Bridget, being a goddess of transformation, she actually took a personal transformation. So she went from goddess status to saint status, and more recently back to goddess status.
Yeah.
Hence, one of those people who can reinvent herself as many times as she wants.
She can just keep going and going.
Just rolls with the punches, you know. That's right. you've got a new belief system. That's fine. I'll find a way to slot myself in there.
It's okay. I'll get in there.
So I've actually, through my own research, found that a lot of people honor her as one of those like chameleon type figures because she, transformation and being able to fit in and also, you know, still do what you normally do, but in a way that's not so overt.
Yes.
So she's actually one of the more common, I guess, chosen or deities for people who are in a mixed household, or if someone like is in a very Christian household, if you honor Saint Bridget, that's a very sneaky way.
yeah, that's right. You can.
It's a and sneaky it's... way of doing it where you're not going to piss off anyone that you live with, but at the same time, you're still being very much pagan by doing that.
Yep.
So obviously with the rewriting of history, which happened during the rise of Christianity, obviously Saint Bridget was, it was said that she was the midwife of Mary.
Yes.
And that she blessed Jesus with three drops of water. So it's that triple goddess, the three.
Yeah,
but three. Still the properties of water, blessing. So yep. It still adheres to her properties. They say that she was born on February 1st, which, you know, they can say whatever they want, but that's just because realistically we know that witches we celebrate as a cross quarter fire celebration. So it's between the other two. It's got nothing to do with the date. It just happens to fall around that date.
Around the time.
But yeah, so because of all of this, and she, whilst she started off as a Celtic goddess, she has since, like, obviously gone through Christianity, so a lot of Christians believe in her, even if they're not of Celtic origin. But even so is that when a lot of the servants went across to the Caribbean, she was then adopted by voodoo practitioners as Madame Brigitte, or Brigitte, I don't know how you pronounce that word.
Yeah.
But it was she was a Madame in voodoo. So she's actually gone into so
that's
many
how she's yeah that she's kind of gone through many different cultures and belief systems.
Exactly. So she's one of those ones that literally cross-cultural pollination, like everyone can say that they have a connection to her in some way. When you think about it, like
there's just different forms of her, whether it's a saint or madame or all of those different things. It's come from that similar origin. That's all where it's come from.
Exactly. So basically anything that you do that honors her is gonna obviously be good for you for in bulk. And any of those traits, so whether you're blessing things, whether you're cleansing, whether you're lighting that sacred flame within.
Yeah.
Christ, I literally just did that.
Oh, you did too.
That was not planned at all.
No, I did.
Because technically the course that I'm doing is written for the Northern Hemisphere. So for them, it's the wrong time of year, but it just so happens that being in the South, it's coincides
kindling
with
that flame. Yeah. So
that's kind of cool.
Kindling that spark, that bringing the light back to the earth.
I was going to say, in your face, Northern Hemisphere.
That's it. It worked. Because that's what it is. Because that's what it is with being the fire festival. It's not so much about, like, say, driving away or protection or things like that. It's about bringing the light back to the earth and sparking that flame within.
Exactly.
That's so good.
And obviously with the rise of it becoming a Christian holiday, that's why sometimes in certain parts of the world they'll interchange the name Imbolc for Candlemas. Because we all know that Candlemas is the mass of the candles.
Yeah.
Hence Candlemas, like Christmas, is the Mass of Christ.
Yeah.
So it's the Candlemas is what they call it, mainly in the British Isles or like in the UK and whatnot.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Imbolc is more of the Gaelic, Celtic, traditional name.
Yeah.
Irish or Scottish or Welsh or Cornish. Manx is another one. Like all of those Celtic tribes.
Yeah.
They're the ones who call it Imbolc.
Still keep it Imbolc. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to think which way to take this. So in segueing from that, obviously we've spoken about her, we've spoken about the harvest, we've spoken about candles, we've spoken about so many different things. But it makes the most natural progression. Let's start off with things that people can do to honor Imbolc that are more magical or tied in with those.
Yes. So I know you've got some beautiful divination.
Oh, we want to start there? Okay, cool. So one of the things you can do is a candle divination. Now, this one can be as complex as you want it to be, but obviously keep it simple.
Yeah.
If you want a very clear answer, keep it simple. So the idea is that you basically take a piece of paper, and if you've got yes, no questions, you divide the paper in half, and then you put yes on one side and no on the other side. And then when you light your candle, obviously it's going to need to be one that the wax can drip down.
Yeah.
So then when you basically need to melt a little bit of wax from a different candle onto the middle of that paper and then stick your candle on. So it
stays on there.
Yeah. Yep. And then after that, you basically ask your question. You can say a little invocation to Bridget, which I have prepared earlier. So I have it right here. So you can say, Goddess Bridget, Goddess of Flame, Healer and Keeper of the Sacred Well, I ask that you honor me with your presence today and show me the answer to my question. And the idea is that once you ask your question, which should be specific and clear with yes, no, or depending on what your options are, that needs to be very clear as to what you're wanting to know.
Yeah.
And then as the wax dribbles down, you allow it to burn all the way down. So obviously you're not going to get something like this that lasts 60 hours or whatever.
No.
No. You want to be smart with your choice of candle.
We want to get one of those like little wish candles or even like birthday candles.
Exactly.
Like that.
And really you want it to just drip down and then, but before it hits the paper or cardboard, you want to obviously extinguish it and take the snub out. The little stub of candle at the bottom.
Yeah, get rid of the
lid. And then you basically look at your divinatory chart and see where most of the wax has landed.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. So because it will either dribble one way or the other way, because it won't always just keep pouring on the one side. It will go wherever it wants to go. And if you have, let's say you've divided it into four areas, and when you look, it just looks like a blob on the sheet. What you can do is use a knife or cutting object to cut on the lines that you divided it.
Oh.
And then if you're not sure on size comparison, you could weigh them. Just
literally
on scales.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because it might be that it's mostly here with a little bit of this. You know what I mean? Because some answers that Spirit gives us not quite so clear cut.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very rare that it's very clear cut. There's usually sort of a little bit of this with a little bit of that, or maybe...
And a shake your
bum. Side up a bit.
a little bit of it. Anyway, chicken dance. So there's that one. Another one that you could do is call the Empowerment of the Milk Moon. Now, obviously the Milk Moon is what they call it in the Northern Hemisphere. But the reason why it's called the Milk Moon is it's the full moon that happens in this period, because that's when their cows start to create milk again. And same with the, basically any herding animal.
Yeah, it's kind of the whole babies thing in the belly.
Exactly. So what you do with this one, now I'm going to give you the short version, is that you're supposed to be able to see the moon outside your window and you light your candle. There's invocations that you can say to the goddess and god. And you basically are then, now this is not for ego stoking. You cannot stoke your own flame. Oh. With this one, no.
Bow bow.
So if you're a good Samaritan who likes to do a lot for other people, but you're also wanting to just tap into spirit to see, am I doing too much? Do I need to be pulling back, reining it in, realigning myself with my own goals? Because by giving constantly, you could be taking energy away from your own labors and what you're trying to achieve because you're giving to everyone else so much.
Yeah.
So... when you light the candle, you're supposed to then be able to, if you can safely do so, hold it up so that the candle light is above the moon. There's a little invocation you can say, and then you're supposed to reflect positively on all the things you do for other people. So whether it's, for example, using my example of stopping cars to let the ducks cross the road.
Yeah, the little duckies go through.
It's something I've done just out of the goodness of my heart. I didn't do it for praise. I didn't do it for thanks, because the ducks aren't going to turn and go, quack, quack, thanks, buddy.
Jeez, dude.
You know, it's a thankless task that you do.
You just do it.
Yeah, exactly. So all those things, holding a door open for someone, saying thank you to someone, brightening up someone's day, paying for someone's lunch, whatever it might be that you've done, smiling,
you know, like smiling at a stranger when you walk past, or just little things,
all
like
the little things, and you reflect on them. And then after the reflection, do not stop there. After the reflection, you then have to be open to whatever comes to you. So that's when you have to open yourself up and just receive whatever messages come to you. So it might be that you're giving too much and you're spending too much time focusing on others, less on yourself, and you could burn your candle out.
Yes.
Because you're burning your own candle at two ends.
Yeah. That's the thing. It is all about balance, and it's great to give, but you do need to see whether it is actually in balance or not.
Exactly. So insert favorite.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Candle burning analogy here about burning a candle at both ends and burn out.
That's it. Perfect timing.
Well, because this time of year as well, people constantly think of, oh, I've got these goals and I want to go. But something that I do during this season is I realign my goals and go, hang on, I don't change my goals. I keep my long-term goals there. But I think, is what I'm doing working? If it's not, now's the time to reignite that flame and steer the course a slightly different direction so that we get to the goal better, quicker, easier, whatever it might be. Maybe we've changed our goals slightly. Maybe the things that we thought were important aren't anymore.
Yeah. And how to get there. So it's kind of like that weeding a little bit. You're not necessarily planting new seeds or creating new things as such, but you're just weeding things out, making it the best path possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, where you need to go.
Another thing you could do is a goddess in the air divination. So for this one, you are supposed to have either a charcoal disc that you put incense on, or you could have two little cones of incense, the little cone ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you want something that creates a fair amount of smoke. Now, yep. the best way to do this is to have the window open and you're looking on it, preferably a cloudy day,
mm-hmm.
if there are some clouds.
We'll see, and this time of the year, that's when
it's usually common. So, yep. And you can do this divination usually on St. Bridget's Day, Bridget's Day or Imbolc, whatever yep. you want to call it, insert favorite name here.
Yep.
So you're supposed to look at the clouds, but then at the same time you light your incense and you watch the way that the smoke intertwines and dances, because you know sometimes it just goes straight up, or sometimes yeah. it does those little ripply like things
yeah.
or whatever, and you're supposed to do an invocation and then ask a question and then just sit and contemplate, and either looking at the smoke or looking at the clouds, whichever one or both,
yeah,
and then just quickly write down, like if you're doing multiple questions, write down your question, ask it out loud, and then look at the smoke for any pictures or shapes or so this is like a form of like smoke
crying
mancy.
Yes, that's kind of like
I just
yeah.
made up a word. I'm sure there's a proper word. Yeah, cloud mancy, smoke mancy, you know, insert favorite word here,
fancy,
yeah, I don't know what the official word is, I'm sure they but then you're supposed to like then quickly write down any of the pictures, shapes, whatever you saw, and then wait till it settles, so clear your mind. And I've tried then this once, when you clear your mind, this smoke should then start going vertically again.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
And then you ask the next question, it should start doing its little dancey thing. And then when you clear your mind, it should just go back to clear. So
cool, this one.
It is really cool. So that's another little one to do. And also thank the goddess afterwards.
Yes.
Of all of these, you always, if you're invoking them, also thank them and release them.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, this one is not so much a divination, but this is another witchy ritual you could do.
Yeah.
So it's the blessing of the candles. So you could have one sacred candle. Now they yep. say that you should have a white altar cloth, because white is not aligned with any specific purpose. So you're not putting any
particular, anything. Yeah, there's yeah. no kind of, it's a complete clean slate.
Neutral, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you have your candle in the middle, then you do your little honor, prayer, invocation, whatever you want to call it, but all your other candles, lay them out so that you can see them all around that main candle.
Yeah.
And even if they're wrapped in plastic, that's okay, as long as it's clear. Like if you like to keep them wrapped so that way they don't get dusty and whatever, that's fine. Yep. You just want to be able to see them all. And then you do this process of when you light the main candle, you then basically through this internal work, you take that energy, draw it from that flame, and then you pass it into each one of the other candles. So you're kind of blessing them mentally.
Yeah.
And
sort of where the light kind of touches, where the flame sort of touches, the light touches them.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I'm just trying to think if there's a step that I missed on that, quickly scanning. So basically you just visualize it reaching out to all the other candle flames or to the wicks of the other candles, and then the energy may appear to spark or light, like in your mind's eye. It may yeah. light the flames. You could do whatever in imagery that you want to do. And then after that, you, when they've all been touched with energy, thank and release the goddess.
Yeah. And you've got all your blessed candles for the thing.
Yes, exactly. I love that. And you can so cool. re-bless your candles each year. Like if you've got some really big yeah. ass, like these
yeah,
ones,
yeah, the big
last
ones.
Me forever.
Yeah.
you can bless them again and again and again and again every Imbolc. Like you don't have yeah. to just do it once.
So you're constantly adding that energy to it. And then like you said, being the white and having it that way, that it's just this constant neutral energy that's just boosting it all the
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
Boosting now, that flame.
Keeping with the candle theme, some other things you can do. Candle making.
Yes.
I've never
I love
done it
candle
before.
Making.
Have you done it?
Yeah. I love making candles.
Do you do the dip variety or the pour into a mold variety?
I've done the pour. I've done okay. the pour ones. I haven't done dip ones. I want to do some dipped ones. That's my next thing I want
to
do.
Because I want to, I'm going to add that to my list of things I want to try yeah. candle making, because then I can put some essential oils in it and all that other.
You can put all the stuff in that you want to do, herbs, all of that. Another really good, easy way, if you don't want to necessarily have to get everything and do the whole melting and pouring, is to buy the sheets of beeswax and roll the candles. So you can roll them up to make your own, and that's a little bit easier. And you can still add in like herbs and oils and all of that sort of thing as well, and then you can use those and then have them for you for the rest of the year, or make them all.
I definitely want to try that.
I was gonna say, and then you could make them, and then you could do the blessing, like the little blessing ritual for them all afterwards, so that they're all ready to go and it's all imbued completely with your energy because you've made them as well.
Exactly.
It's fun, and I like candles.
I was gonna say the other thing, if you don't want to make the candles, you could also buy some generic candles, and yeah. you can do what's called a candle dressing, where you basically get all your essential oils. They say to mix it and shake, like you mix the different oils together and then shake it.
Yeah.
And then let it sit and then shake it, like I think twice a day for however many days in order to mix them properly. And then the idea is you put it with a carrier oil, because some of them can be sensitive to your skin.
You've got to be careful.
So you can put them with a carrier oil and then rub the outsides of the candle with it, like using paper towel or gloves or something. So then it is blessed. And then you just let them dry. So then as you're burning them, that those smells will come out. And the energy
You can do
will come out.
Particular intentions and things like that, depending on like what kind of oils you use.
Yeah. Ooh, so because you can either dress the outside or you can dress the top. You can even put some little crystals in it, or you can roll it in herbs after you've dipped it in oil. You could roll it in your dried herbs.
Yep. Put them in there.
It's like all crusty and cool and very witchy.
Yes. And make sure though that you've got it on a nice big plate that's not around anything, because especially when you've got the herbs around it, it'll go whoosh, the flame. Everything kind of burns a lot. So do be careful. Practice safe witchcraft. Yes. Fire safety with your witchcraft.
You can also make some incense at this time of year. It's a good time to make your own incense. I've never done this myself, only because I tend to just, if I'm making an incense, I just crush up my resins and stuff and make a little concoction. I sprinkle that on my charcoal disc. I don't really make incense as such, but have you?
See, now I sound like I'm all crafty witch, but I'm not. This is candles and herbs. They're kind of my thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
I do. Yes, I have. I've made them. I've had a couple of goes with doing it and making different blends and things like that and putting them in different shapes. I've made like little incense cones, or I've made like long sticks that you can then burn, and it's really fun. I like it. I found it's easier to powder up your herbs, so I actually got a cheap coffee grinder from Kmart.
Witch hack 101.
So you can really powder them up. I mean, it depends on whether you want us to really chunky, but I've got all my mortar and pestles and I still do all of that, but to make the incense, I found that was actually made it a little bit easier. It was just to use a little cheap little coffee grinder and it blists up your little herbs and you've got powdered herbs, instant. And then you can just add them in there. Yeah, you can just add them in there, and then you just need something. You just use a really small amount of water as like a binding agent, and you need to leave them to dry. But you do need to have something in there that's sort of the fuel. So there's all different kind of herbs and woods and stuff like that you can use to as a bit more of that flame, the fuel for the incense.
Yes.
But it's a really fun thing to make. It's really cool to do. And even if you don't want to make it the complete ones like the incense cones and stuff like that, but just even making up some incense blends, like for the loose stuff on charcoal blocks, make up some blends and pop them in a jar so that you've got them there ready to go whenever you want to use them. And you can use a lot of like the spring flowers and things like that as you start to get through.
I don't know if I'll try that one this year. Maybe that goes back for another year. I'm gonna try the candles this year though.
Candles is good, and because that's also another, there's a tradition as well being that it's bringing the light back and sort of getting rid of winter, so to speak, that you can light a candle. Of course, set the intention if you want to do the invocation and things like that, especially to Bridget. And then you walk it through the house. So as if you're kind of, I guess for want of a better word, banishing winter, banishing the darkness in the house, and you're bringing that light back in. And if you want to, you can then use it to light other candles so that you've got lots of candles around you that are all lit. And it's just that symbolic thing of bringing the light back to the house.
I was actually tempted to like full deck myself out with so many candles behind me just for this
episode. I know. I only did three. I'm like, just stop now.
I've only got the two there. Gonna have like a full, like, because I've got like several candle labras out there in my house. I'm gonna have them all scattered everywhere and just candle. I'm like, oh my god, it gets so hot.
I know it does, but it's a good time of year because it's still usually a little bit cold, so you could add them all in. But that, you know, that's also a really kind of a fun thing that you can even just do at home that's not necessarily super witch involved or anything like that. And you can have it like, have like a candlelight dinner, or have like a bit of a feast or something with candles, light, or like rather than having lights on one that night, have candles going instead, or of course being safe with your candles.
This is just reminding me, I'm pretty sure we spoke about this on air once when the power went out in our area. Yeah. But I have so many candles that there was like, no,
you know whose house to go to, that's how you find the witches in your area.
The neighbors all thought somehow miraculously our power was on, because I had that many candles lit up that out the front of our house was like, ah.
The angels are descending.
There was actually neighbors that sent us photos saying, how have you got electricity?
I just have a lot of candles.
Yeah, I'm like, this is a lot of candles. Like, how many? I'm like, there's like three pillar candles in my front room, and it lit up entire window.
I was about to say, you'd be surprised how much light some of those bigger candles, like the big pillar candles, you only need a few of them and you're lit up perfectly.
Go on.
I was going to say, I remember one year in winter, our electricity went off, and of course, even though we have a gas heater, it's still got the electric light, so literally nothing works in our house when the electricity goes off. So it was freezing cold, so we all bundled into one room, we had no light. So I'm like, okay, got, knowing who I am, I've got hundreds of candles, so we lit a whole heap of candles. By the end of it, we were all stripping off our jumpers because we got into one room just to stay, and it was so warm and it was so bright and it was perfect.
You know, I was going to say, on that note, so this is one of the things. Historically, our ancestors, the reason why for them Imbolc was a lot more prevalent than it is these days, because these days, like, I know a lot of witches, when I ask them about celebrating the Sabbats, Imbolc is one of the ones that most of them skip over.
He is.
Because they just like, oh, what's the point? Like, you know, I have a heating system. I'm in a climate-controlled house, climate-controlled car. Like, I don't even notice that winter's still going on or that it's the first signs of spring, because I'm always in a beautiful 22 degrees Celsius. Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
But in actual fact, in ancient times, if you kind of put yourself in the mindset of them back then, the reason why Imbolc was so important to the Celtics and then it became part of the witch's calendar is because they, think of it this way, you're in a wooden house with a thatched roof. Mm-hmm. You had to honor fire on the next level, because the only source of heat and light that existed was fire, and from candles or from the hearth. And so you would all huddle around the fire to keep warm, and you would want that flame to be forever burning, because otherwise you're going to freeze to death, because the winters would sometimes, you know, they didn't just have their minus 40 degree sleeping bag to
I was
going to
say, the
or they don't have their oodie that thermals. They can just wear, like, you know. They had to rough it, and so for them, that fire was so sacred to them, because the fact that it was a source of heat, it was a source of light, it was a source of warming up their food, it was a source of everything. And there's even stories of, like, farmers that would go out and sleep with the cattle in the barn, because they bring them in so the barn doesn't freeze, like the animals don't freeze,
so
the outside
animals don't freeze.
So they had to bring them into the barn, and they would just sleep in the hay amongst all of them, because they all keep each other warm. Like,
I was about to say, all the body heat would then all keep everything.
If you look at animals this time of year, my cat is always curled up. You know when they curl up in the tiny little, like, round
tiniest
shape?
Little ball.
They actually do that. Cats do that at this time of year because they're trying to conserve their heat, because most of their heat comes from their belly. Yeah. So they do that to keep all that heat in
keep
and the rest of their body warm. Yeah. And she, like, literally, my cat is the most snobby bitch ever. But
not this
in particular, through winter and even still now, when she wakes up and she realizes that we're watching television or whatever, she literally would jump up and she, like, nuzzles right in, and she's just like,
I know. See, that's because I'm terrible and all of my animals sleep, let them sleep in my bed sometimes. But they, I can't help it. I do, but all of a sudden everybody just starts to suck in and they're all, like, touching everybody. And I woke up, I was the same thing. I woke up the other morning and my cat was on my chest, and he was tied up in that tiny little ball, all warm. So he's sucking the body heat off of me and just conserving his own heat. Why not? And that's why all the animals, like, they sleep together and stuff like that, like pack animals and things like that, is because they're warming each other and keeping
each other warm. Exactly. So if you're the sucker on the outside,
you
freeze
while
everyone else keeps
you get
warm.
The cold back.
Funnily enough, though, like, I always run hot. So even now, freezing cold.
Yeah.
But, well, freezing cold by Australian standards.
Yeah.
Not North America, where you get snow.
But
so, like, even though Chris, we have, like, our big feather down doona.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we have, like, a mink blanket, like, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm always one leg cocked out in the bed, and most of the dune is off me, and I'm only in my bottoms because I'm like, yeah, I'm sweating.
It's too hot.
Because he's always so cold, and I'm like, oh, yeah, these layers. Anyways, bring it back to, so we talked about the barn. We talked about the crops. We talked about this and that. Another thing you could do, this is a very traditional one, is to make a Bridget's cross.
Yes.
So
this is such a fun thing.
Funny story with this one. I was just zooming for those looking at the tube. You can see that I've kind of intertwined them here and woven them. But funny story is, when Vicky and I were speaking about recording this episode, I really wanted to have one of these ready made so I could show you all on camera. And I was looking up where to find hay, but like as in straw. But when you type in straw, you literally get like
Drinking straws
come up on your search. So I thought, okay, how else am I going to type this? So I wrote dried straw, or I typed like wheat straw. But then you get like now because of the biodegradable, the planet conscious people, you just get literally drinking straws made out of wheat. I'm like, no, that's not what I want.
Because
I wanted the long reeds of wheat.
Yeah, because
or straw to make the Bridget's cross, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Rang so many, what do you call them, fodder.
Yep, fodder stores.
Fodder stores and everything. I even got in contact with like a local like farming place that creates hay bales. So do you have any like long pieces that kind of look like this? He's like, sorry, mate, can't help you. Ours are all chopped up for hay bales. Damn it. And then through talking to Vicky, I just literally had one of those moments. You know when you're mid-conversation, you kind of slap yourself because you're like, OMG.
Oh my gosh.
The whole time I was talking to her, I was looking out my back window thinking of how I needed hay. And I realized that in my backyard, because most of you will know, we built a house. So there's a lot of clay. Yeah. And there's this wild grass that grows. There's grass that's like up to my hip, like this wild grass that's just, you know, little tufts of it in my back, along my back fence. And I've looked down, I'm like, I am such a dickhead. So I literally went outside and picked like a few blades of this long grass.
It's perfect. And it's the perfect size.
It's a perfect, like, because it's literally long, it's thin.
You need to fold it over, because you need to fold it over. So you do need a little bit of length.
Yeah.
They're perfect.
Yeah, exactly. And I folded it and made this and I've tied it together. But I mean, now that it's drying, it is shrinking a little. It's not as big as it was yesterday.
Yeah, when they're fresh, it will shrink a little bit as it dries.
Yeah.
But they're really cool and it's really easy. And how easy... It's even better because it's also something that's come from your backyard. Like it's something around you. So I think they used to use straw or reeds or rush or anything like that. I've used like one of those grass plants.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think what they're called, a native iris or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like those big grassy plants. I've used some of that before, or lavender if it's around. And
So
after all of your looking, you had it in your backyard the whole time. So that's a good lesson. Look around you. See what you've actually got around you.
Oh, I was so close to wanting to go to the wetlands, but I wasn't sure if like Department of Parks and Wildlife would come and like arrest me or fine me for taking reeds.
Yeah, I know. I
don't know if that will happen. But anyway, so I'd end up just finding some wild grass in my backyard. But so what am I going to do with this? Because obviously it's one thing to make it, but then what do you do with it?
What do you do with it?
So I'm going to be hanging this outside on the eve of Imbolc, so on the 31st of July. I'm going to be hanging this outside to basically welcome Bridget and ask her to come bless our house and bring all the good things. But then after that, I'm going to hang it in our kitchen.
Yeah, perfect. You bring it into the house. Because that's like the hearth. That's the hearth of the house. And then there's also a tradition if you made a new one, like the following year, that you would burn the one from the year before and then replace it with the new one.
Hmm.
A fresh one. So you're constantly always freshening that up and moving it through. Because that was also a thing, being that they're coming out of winter, that they're to burn off all the old stuff from winter, kind of like getting rid of it, getting rid of all the stuff. Getting rid of winter and moving into spring. So I think it's cool. And they're a really fun thing to make.
Yeah. It was very fun. My cat was like, what the hell?
Yeah. She's just like, what's that?
She was just looking at me like, what are you playing with grass inside for? She's so judgmental.
I know. I know. It's like, I can't go out there. Well, I want the grass.
But it's funny because like literally my cat, the more... Like, because as you will know, like, I'm getting more and more and more and more into my witchy practice.
Yeah.
Like, it started off, like, obviously I did things, but, like, now I'm doing them ritualistically. And I'm honoring all the different seasons now because, you know, I want to practice what I preach. And my cat just knows.
She's like, which one is it now?
She's becoming more of a familiar each day as it goes. Like now she tries to take over the podcast. She tries to sneak in. I even caught her sitting in front of the microphone on my cushion. No joke. Yes. I have a photo to prove it.
Yeah.
She's just sitting there in front of the microphone, just waiting for me to turn it on.
I told you. She's trying to take it over. I told you.
And then I watched that episode on Charmed just yesterday that had the one where the familiar turns into a person.
Like oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I laughed so hard because I looked at my cat.
Hang on.
And,
she's are just, you going to change?
She was watching the TV. She was like watching intently. And I'm like, don't you get ideas?
Yeah.
Okay. Aside from the witchy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. There's other aspects to it. What are more the, I guess, the more personal inner aspects to it?
Well, obviously you could do some spring cleaning.
Yes.
Spring cleaning. Yep. But remember, when you do spring clean, if you've got any old clothes you want to get rid of, donate them.
Yeah.
Because it's still cold.
Don't just throw them.
Yeah. There might be people out there that need them, like the homeless or poor.
Definitely.
Or people, you like take them to op shops or whatever you want to do. Especially if you've got old blankets or towels. Like I mean, I did this in Yule. I took my towels to the old dog.
Which is awesome.
Old dog's home. As in the shelter. The old dog's home.
I love it. That's brilliant.
You know what I meant.
I would look after them all.
Yeah. So I took it to the dog's home so that way they have towels to use for either bedding or for drying them or whatnot.
Yeah.
But you could also take them somewhere. If you've got old blankets, you could take them to these places. Sometimes I've even had some people who have donated their blankets to adjustment.
Yes. Adjustment places.
Because they throw them over the horses to keep them warm because they need help sometimes too.
That's it. Any of the kind of like the animal rescue places and things like that, they're always looking for things.
And they love donations because they're mostly not for profit.
That's right.
But otherwise, so other than cleaning and then doing things with that, you can clean your physical space. So my husband and I actually did a massive clean just the other day, and I put some little concoctions into my
which is
my cleaning supply. So when I was mopping the home, I was actually charging it with the intent of keeping all unwanted energies out. So I cleansed my floor while mopping,
which is such a cool
cleansing
while cleansing. That's right. That's it. Most of the time, like everything that's kind of, I guess, spiritual or magical or in those sort of sense, you can do it in the physical as well. So you're doing that both. Either way is helping. So I find even like decluttering the house and things like that, not only does it make the space feel nicer, but it helps to make me feel better. Like
it
my head.
Declutters
like,
your head,
like my head, I feel my energy, everything, all of that stuff feels way better. So there's always that twofold effect to everything. So.
Well, since we decluttered our pantry, I've actually found we eat less junk.
Yes, because you can just see it all, and you can I'll grab that, I'll have this, I'll do whatever.
We don't buy it because I don't have a container for it. I just don't buy it.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, sorry, I can't.
the lollies container is full. I cannot buy any more lollies.
I'm pretty sure I could find.
No, if there's no container, you cannot just put packaging in there. Nope.
Then no, I would eat.
That's
it.
That's the rule.
I would just eat them. I just eat them to make room.
Now, the other thing you can do, obviously, it's the end of the, like, it's the start of spring, so at the end of official winter. Yeah. So you can plant seeds. Now, whether you do this physical or cognitive, metaphorical.
Metaphorical?
So you can plant seeds. Now, with planting seeds, if you're going to do it physically, don't be scared. There are so many different options. I'm even contemplating getting one of those things for inside the house where you have like that.
The little greenhouse?
No, the little thing that has rows and rows and rows of the little baby pots.
Yes.
And getting all the herbs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm even contemplating starting one of those in our kitchen because we want more greenery, but I also want to make it a little bit more.
So it's kind of functional.
Functional, not just green.
Yeah, it's not just there for the sake of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm contemplating. I just have to run this idea by Chris and see if he's keen. But I used to be so scared of doing green things, but I thought I'll start with herbs.
Herbs are easy. Herbs are
easier.
Really good. Yeah, they are. Herbs are really good. Basil's a good one.
Basil. Good old Basil.
Basil.
So you could plant some seeds physically or plant some seeds metaphorically and then tend to those gardens and watch them grow.
Yeah.
Then there's also doing something positive but out of character. So I spoke about this before.
Yeah.
So when things aren't working the way you want them to work, change your state.
Yeah, change it up. Doing,
change it up, do something different. Like, for example, I mean, this is a little bit abstract in the way I'm thinking of this, but like, for example, I had goals that I was working towards and then we went into another lockdown. So I could choose to become miserable about the fact that my goals aren't going to happen now because of the lockdown, or I could change my state and focus on things that I can do. So in this time, I have decided to start learning how to crochet.
It's so good too.
It's like the most random thing. I feel like such a nana, but
I love it. I always wanted to do it.
I'm learning how to crochet. So I've made it.
So once you've mastered it, then you can teach me properly.
Well, it's actually not as hard as it looks.
I know, because you were just doing it the other day while you were on the phone.
Yeah.
We were talking, you're just doing it. I'm just like, off we go.
It's a good focal point, but now that I've redone this one, now that I've improved, I now want to remake this one because this is a bit big.
Oh, see, this is
supposed to be the head.
This is the thing what he does, though. As he gets better at it, it's like, oh, I don't like that one anymore. I need to keep refixing it. Refix it.
This one's a bit loose. Because this is actually... So, tidbit, I'm actually making a little miniature, like, stuffed. It's called an amigurumi, which is a specific type of crochet. Amigurumi is the method of making, like, balls.
The what to do it.
The ball. Yep. Mm-hmm. But amigurumi, so I'm turning this into a little baphomet.
It looks so cute.
So, it's got the body, it's got the head, it's going to have little wings, little horns, little ears, little tail.
You know, go for gold straight away, too.
Why not? Like, I mean, I could just do, like, a granny square. That's boring.
Which is what I would do.
Yeah, the granny square is like the most simple, basic thing you can do.
You could make that and then you could turn it into a blanket and then you could put it out on the 31st for Bridget to bless and that can become the heirloom.
Okay, so start now with the intention of having a blanket ready for next year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I might have missed this one.
It's a little bit close.
I mean,
unless you've got nothing better to do and you have all the hours of the day.
I was about to say,
just crochet.
Keep going.
Once I get good at this, though, I actually said to Chris, I wouldn't mind trying to make like a funky beanie or like, you know.
Yeah, like there's so many really cool things you can do with it and make your own. I think that's really great.
Because what I did with this one, this is a little insight. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but that's okay.
It is because it's a new skill.
Yeah. So with this, it's I've actually stuffed it, but I've also put crystals inside of it.
Yeah, yeah.
With particular intents that I'm going to be. So then I'm going to make it as a little effigy almost. So it's going to be like... You know, almost when you think of like a poppet or something.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
So I'm giving it a life form and I'm giving an intention and making it do its little magical work. But
see, there you go. It's very magical too.
Yeah. So and that means now we're going to have to do an episode on poppets.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd love that.
I would.
You would love that.
Hello, poppet.
Future episode on poppets.
But it is. It's really cool. Like to be able to. And that's something like what you were suggesting just before is that it's very easy for us to get into the mindset or to hang on to those things that we can't do or what we can't change or what's stopping us. But being able to flip it and look at it in a different way and what we can do, and maybe it's not exactly how we thought we were going to get there, but maybe there's a better way of getting there and you can still get there. Or it might mean that you're learning a new skill or something, bringing something new into it, sparking that creativity within you, that little flame of creativity. So, yeah, just...
Well, literally the reason I did this is because I felt like my creative outlets that I would normally do in the mundane world were now like halted.
You couldn't do them. That's
and then I felt under-expressed and I just felt stagnant and I didn't want to spiral. So I thought, okay, I need to find a new way of expressing this creativity. Last time we went into a lockdown, I decided to learn the Irish tin whistle, I decided this time around to do something less annoying for my husband. That was fun, but he was just like, I'm singing that song in my fucking sleep. Can you stop playing?
Yeah, I need to stop now. You need to stop.
You don't want to turn your housemates or partners into sour bitches.
No. So do something nice and productive.
Yeah. Or just do something nice. So the other thing I was going to say, I had on here thank a stranger, but I mean, you could also put, because people have forgotten how to people, as we've said on a few episodes now.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely.
So just showing your appreciation or thanks for a stranger or doing a random act of kindness.
Yeah, that's it.
Help spark that flame in someone else's life by doing something random and selfless for them.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be huge.
But make sure the intention behind it is not for your own self-gratification. It's actually
that ego selfless thing. Act. Yeah, like you were mentioning before, that it's not stroking the ego. It is genuinely for somebody else's benefit, and it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be this huge big thing. It can be tiny. Sometimes it can just be like a message or a smile or holding the door and little things.
So
or
here you go. Do all the random acts of kindness. Thank all the strangers. Do all the things.
And then you can do...
And then do your empowerment to the Milk Moon.
Which... Yep. Perfect. You're done. You get it all ticked off in one go. And you know what? You're just being a good human being as well, which is something that we really need in this world.
You are.
Exactly. Right about now. So
especially now, because I mean, we're all in Australia, literally. I think this is the first time where Sydney, well, New South Wales is in a lockdown. Victoria's in a lockdown. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Adelaide is in a lockdown.
Yeah, we're
South
in
Australia's
lockdown.
In lockdown.
South Australia's in lockdown.
Western Australia's in lockdown. I think Queensland, they're either in or just out of or something. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, Northern Territory, they're out, but they've just come out.
They've only just come out. And I think Tasmania have closed their borders. Like, we're literally, all of our states are not talking to each other anymore.
No, nobody's talking to anybody anymore. It's okay. We're all closed down. But there is...
Thou shall not pass!
That's it. I just see this big Gandalf. That's it.
But yeah, so we need it more than ever to do random acts of kindness for people that you see. Like, if you see someone that's like, I mean, I do this every time I go to the market, because we have to pay for parking, and it's something, it's the smallest little thing. You pay 40 cents for a ticket and it lasts you for 2 hours, but I only need half an hour. So as I'm driving out, I find a car that's driving in, I wind down my window and I hold my ticket out my window. And then the person driving in grabs my ticket and puts it on their dash. Whether it's got half an hour left or an hour and a half left, it doesn't matter. And it's only 40 cents. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
That 40 cents, you pay it forward. And then that reciprocity, like, that could be that one little thing that has sparked their day. Because for all you know, they didn't have coins on them or they were wondering what they're going to do, you know what I mean?
No, and you have no idea what's brought them to that moment.
No.
And just the tiniest little act of kindness can really change a whole perspective. I know it sounds really silly or whatever, but it really does. That can really just start to spark people's, I guess, regain that trust in humanity, so to speak.
And I've also done it once where I was at a coffee shop in the city and I heard someone was on the mobile phone with someone and they were obviously having a really shit day. Like, I could hear them.
Yeah.
They were just in the worst emotional state ever. And when I ordered my coffee and then they were still in the mobile phone, like bitching, whinging to their friend. And then when they came up, like I told the barista when she was talking to someone else, I said, I'll pay for whatever she orders.
Yeah.
And then they said, are you sure? I said, yeah. So just let her order and then I'll come back and pay. And they said, okay, cool. So, because obviously it's awkward for me to say, hey, I'm going to buy your
coffee. Hi, I'm going to buy it.
How are you? So anyway, then the girl just, all she wanted was a coffee and she just asked for that. She got all, she was like rummaging around trying to get her coins out and whatever. They said, oh, no, it's already covered. She goes, by who? And like that gentleman waiting at the bar. She's like, why? And I said, don't know, go ask him. So she came up, she goes, oh, excuse me, did you pay for my coffee? I said, yeah. And she's like, but why? I'm like, well, it sounds like you had a bit of a tough day. So what's a cup of coffee? It's less than $5. Like, who cares? Just thought I'd do something.
Have a good day.
And she's like, oh my God. And then she was just like, it lightened up her entire day.
Because that
was
the tiniest
little thing. Now she could potentially, rather than bitching and whinging to her friend, she might be like, oh my God. So like, I've had the best day now. Yeah. That one little thing could just turn it round.
That's it. Like, flip that perspective on things. Just to get somebody out of that headspace can move them into a much better headspace, and it can have such a ripple effect as well.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't out of me. Like, I don't care. I'm never going to know if you talked about me or didn't talk about me,
whatever.
It's nothing to do with me. It's purely that would then make her reassess all her decisioning from that point on.
Yeah. And it does. And sometimes we all just need that little act of kindness to just help us remember and go, okay. We can flip the switch here. We can go forward.
Yes.
So that's a beautiful thing to do.
So I guess in finishing off, we've just got some correspondences, which we do on all of the Sabbats. Yep. So side note, we started with Ostara last year.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the next Sabbat. So
we've actually come full circle.
We have come full circle. We're almost about to graduate one whole year on the podcast. So I want to hear from all of you. Like, we've got our own ideas, but how do you want us to? Because obviously, we're not going to do this Sabbat special every single year.
No.
Because there's only so many times you can say the same stories. But is there anything you would like us to do for the Sabbats as a way of honoring them?
Yeah, or particular things you want to know about, or
like whether we talk about
something.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to hear from you, but
so please do.
let us know. But in finishing off, so some of the correspondences, as we said, this is a time of beginnings, preparation, patience, awakening, newness or renewal, innocence, change, emergence from sleep or hibernation, cleansing, sprouting seeds, fertility or transitions. You could do anything to do with cleansing, protection, divination, birth or rebirth, transformation. We have the archetypes are like the goddess transforming from crone to maiden.
Yeah.
The goddess in the form of young mother tending to her growing child. Or the male aspect is a god in the form of a child exploring the world, the innocence of the masculine. So that's the time of year that we're in.
I love it. Yeah.
The deities and heroes. So for the goddess energy, you have Brigid, which is Irish, Aphrodite or Venus for the Greco-Romans, Diana for the Etruscan and Roman. Now, I don't know if I'm saying this wrong, right or wrong. I always say Arianod.
Yeah, I'm never sure either.
I don't know. That's how I'm saying it. That's Welsh. How
I say it. Yeah. I'm never sure either.
We have Artio in the Swiss pantheon, Athena for the Greeks, Danu for the Irish, Gaia in Greek, Inanna, which is West African, Juno in Roman, Selene for the Greeks, Vesta for Roman, and Selu for Cherokee. And then for the gods, you've got Februs, which is Roman, Bragi, which is Norse, Cupid for Romans, an Irish one. I think it's pronounced Dinkecht.
Ooh, nice.
Dinkecht. D-I-A-N-C-E-C-H-T. I'm pretty sure it's Dinkecht.
Yeah.
Dumuzi, which is Sumerian, and Eros, which is Greek. Colors, you have light green, pink, white, and yellow. For herbs, you have things like angelica. Oh, sorry.
All the pale colors.
Pale colors, yep.
Yep.
For herbs, you have angelica, basil, blackberry, bramble, cinnamon, grain, reed, and wormwood.
Yep.
Trees, you have blackthorn, cedar, rowan, and sycamore. For flowers, you have crocus, daffodil. Because the daffodils, isn't this the time of the year where they start to come up?
Yeah, this is where they start to come up. Yeah, daffodils and jonquils. All of those sort of ones, the little ones start to pop up. It's the bell one. I can't remember what they're called.
The ones that look like a little hanging
bell. Yeah. Oh, I can't think of what they are. They're gorgeous. It's gone.
It's gone. I can't think of it.
It's okay.
For crystals, you have amethyst and turquoise. For metals, it's antimony, brass, and gold. And for animals or totems, you have the cow, the dragon, the groundhog, the lark, the robin, the sheep, the snake, and the swan. Tarot correspondences, you have the death card.
Yeah, very fitting at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The Empress card, which is all fertility, growth, pregnancy, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the star card, so that healing aspect and that healing. Shining the light and lighting the way. So that's a couple of little things that you can do. I think that's everything. I mean, there's plenty of other correspondences, but they're
There's always that. But get you started anyway. Get you going and research. So, look, find out.
Let's make Imbolc one of the greater.
Yes. Not the more forgotten one.
Yeah, because Imbolc, there's nothing. It's sexy. Yeah, I like Imbolc.
It is. I do too. It's cool because it's candles. It's all about flame and candles and stuff. I love candles.
It's all about flame and candles.
Candles and candles.
You crack me up.
I know.
I know I do. I'm hilarious.
No. Funny. On that note. Have a wonderful Imbolc.
Yes, blessed Imbolc, and we will speak to you real soon.
Stick to you soon. See ya. Bye.